Jesus goes into the wilderness full. Luke tells us that he was full of the Holy Spirit. And yet, while he is there, he finds himself tempted. Over 40 days and 40 nights, the whispers that start out quietly begin to nag at him. During Lent, it is a custom for people to give up things as a discipline of denial. Sometimes people give up a bad habit or a favorite food or something that they enjoy. And other times people take on something. They pick up a good habit or commit to exercise or a prayer discipline or to read all the way through one of the Gospels. You may have made a Lenten promise as well this year. But now, 5 days in, it's becoming a little more real, isn't it? Is it? The whispers in your head are getting a little harder to ignore. Just one piece of chocolate. It won't really ruin all of Lent, right? Just that one piece of chocolate. It won't hurt. I mean, after all, today at Potluck, you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings by not trying their dessert, right? It's okay. Skipping one day doesn't really count, does it? Those were the kinds of thoughts that Jesus had. That rock, it's actually kind of the shape of a roll. It's almost the color of bread, in fact. God must have meant it as a sign. You can't just turn it into bread. Would that hurt really? God doesn't want me to be hungry, and I am hungry. Jesus was experiencing physical temptation. No different than the temptations that we have. And his response was Scripture. Scripture gave him the strength to resist temptation. Biblical scholar N.T. Wright makes the point that Jesus does not try to argue with temptation. Arguing with temptation, says Wright, is often a way of playing with the idea until it really just becomes too attractive to resist. Have you ever done that? Had a temptation, and then you just kept thinking about it until it just became too tempting to resist? I have, mostly around chocolate. And that point is exactly why I think giving up something for Lent or taking something on for Lent is important in life as a disciple. Because we need to practice and experience our own pattern of rationalization when we are faced with temptation, with something that really is not of life-shattering importance. Whether I eat chocolate today or not is not life-changing. We have as a discipline this Lent for you to receive each day a text of a theme word and to take that theme word through your day and send us pictures back as a reply. And you'll see the board outside the sanctuary with the pictures from this week. And I encourage you to sign up, be a part of that. You can ask me about it at lunch today. But if you do that one day or you forget that day, will not all by itself transform your life. But learning to be disciplined and learning how vulnerable I am to my own ability to rationalize giving in to temptation will transform my life and your life. It will deepen our understanding and our appreciation of our dependence upon God and God's grace. Presbyterian pastor, the Reverend Dr. Gary Stratman, says of this passage that the real temptation is to take matters into his own hands. That's Jesus' real temptation, is to settle for less than God's plan. Jesus is thinking, what good would I be to God if I died of hunger here in the desert? Furthermore, If I can turn rocks into bread, wouldn't I be meeting the primary needs of men and women? But wasn't the primary question whether God would provide all of Jesus' needs? And wasn't the primary question for Jesus, why is God so slow? Do we ever face that question in our own lives? Why is God so slow? If faith is dealing with God's delays, then you and I know what it means to be of little faith, unable to wait. We continually settle for less than what we've been promised. We're a little bit like Judas. Sometimes I feel sorry for Judas because I think he just tried to speed things up for Jesus. Something is going to happen now. In our hunger for love, our need for affection, we settle for less than the real thing in our lives. And you know what happens? The bread ends up tasting like a stone. Jesus responded to the temptation with scripture. One does not live by bread alone, he said. I will wait for God and not settle for less. And then the thoughts started to whir again. Jesus is standing up on the top of a mountain and he can see all of the civilized world there in front of him. The enormity of God's call on his life is overwhelming. And so he's tempted to compromise. It seems so simple. Not compromising on big things, just little things. Like doing things the way the world does things. I mean, the ends justify the means, right? God has chosen me, thinks Jesus. Sure, God's way is strength and weakness and attracting people with love and promises of a new way of living together in a beloved community. But if that doesn't work out, he has this thought, I am God's chosen one to rule over all the world. I probably do need a few military minds. Probably need to gather up some influential people. Surely it would be a just war. God means for me to be powerful. It is about me. Power for me. You see how his thoughts took him down a temptation trail? And Jesus responds to the temptation with scripture. Worship the Lord your God and serve only him, not yourself. He will subordinate himself to God's will and God's way. And then the final temptation that Luke tells us is at the pinnacle of the temple. Luke is not saying that Jesus was transported here with the devil in some kind of airborne vehicle. Luke is a great writer. In the scenes in the temple and the synagogue throughout Luke's gospel, we see how God's people, Israel, have strayed from God's will. And we see time and again the priests and the leaders come into conflict with God's angels and Jesus, God's agents. And so he places the third temptation at the pinnacle of the temple, at the height of the location where God's presence abides. And here we see Jesus and God's adversary, Satan, come into conflict. And they both use scripture. Satan says, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Jump! God has promised to protect you. God won't let harm come to you. I think this may be the very first warning against proof texting. If you take scripture out of context, if you strip it of its intention, if you interpret it without a clear commitment to God, the words can be the agent of God's adversary. But Jesus replies with scripture. It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Even the Son of God has no right to make demands on God or manipulate God for personal purposes. Jesus will place his life into God's hands. C.S. Lewis said that there is a silly idea that good people are not tempted. Jesus was tempted. Adam and Eve were tempted. Humans are tempted, and we are human. We are tempted. But when that tempting happens, because Jesus was tempted, we have an example to follow. Jesus responded to temptation with God's word. He trusted God enough to wait for God to meet his needs instead of settling for turning stones into bread. Will we wait for God? He was devoted to God enough to subordinate himself to God's will and God's ways instead of using any means available to him, instead of taking power and control for himself. Will we put God's purposes ahead of our own desires? And he loved God enough, and he knew that God loved him so deeply that he could place his life into God's hands. Yesterday at the presbytery meeting, Sarah Strong preached on this passage as we approved her for ordination. And in her sermon, she told of a friend's son named Kevin, who has had one surgery for a brain tumor that was successful, and just this last week learned that the tumor has returned and he will face more surgery. She said her friend was absolutely devastated until she got a text from Kevin that said simply, "Been reading some Psalms, and so for Lent, I'm not giving up." Not because he got a sign from God that he would be healed. Not because his positive attitude will somehow convince God to spare his life. Not because he has done God's will well enough for God to reward him with good health. Not because he has done anything right or made a sacrifice that is acceptable or somehow manipulated God. Not because he has stood up at the top of the temple and jumped expecting God to catch him. But because he has been reading God's word. A word that sustains us. A word that gives us power against the temptations of life. A word that encourages us. A word that tells us that God's promises to us are much like the promises that we vow at a wedding. I am yours, and you are mine, says God, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish as long as life eternal. Thanks be to God. Amen.